We swore an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That oath was put to test on January 6, 2021.
Not only did President Trump refuse to tell the mob to leave the Capitol, he placed no call to any element of the United States government to instruct that the Capitol be defended.
Donald Trump lost the presidential election in 2020. The American people voted him out of office. It was not because of a rigged system. It was not because of voter fraud.
At some point in the conversation, Matt Oskowski, who is the lead data person, was brought on. And I remember he delivered to the president pretty blunt terms that he was going to lose.
I made it clear I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen.
Many of President Trump's White House staff also recognized that the evidence did not support the claims President Trump was making. This is the president's daughter commenting on Bill Barr's statement that the department found no fraud sufficient to overturn the election.
Okay, well, you know what? I can't let that stand. That's just the first J6 committee. And Benny Thompson was the co-chair with Liz Cheney. And if you haven't heard me say this, I have to repeat that the whole thing was staged. They hired a Hollywood producer to produce, I think, three or four nights straight. It was like a primetime television. They scripted everything they said, meaning Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson and all the congressmen that ask a question. They were reading from a script, and so it was all kind of seamless. You can look, if you watch a congressional hearing, you know this had to be scripted because it just isn't that good when it's real. It isn't that good. But somebody had an idea, and they were painting President Trump as the cause of all of this and how he stirred on the rioting, that the 2020 election absolutely wasn't stolen. You just heard Bill Barr say there, of course, it was ridiculous to think that there was some problem with the machines. Bill Barr, we know now, through a former attorney general, one of the attorney general of some stripe in the office with Bill Barr, Jeff Clark, who's been our guest, who's become a friend, he told us that Bill Barr never looked at the evidence. He never looked at the evidence. And so right there, you got a problem. But that was the first hearing, and that's how it went down. And because of that, and because of their animus and hatred for Trump, and their animus and hatred for Trump's supporters, that's why J6 happened. They really wanted to destroy the people that supported Donald Trump. And boy, did they do a really good job. They did a slam, bang, dunk job by accusing them of the most horrific things. And so now the J6ers, even in spite of their pardon, 1,500 of them, 1,555, I think, were pardoned. They're struggling. So today we're going to be talking to Tim Rivers, who you've heard before with me. He's a former IBM executive. And Tim has really thrown his life, his resources, everything into helping them for the last 5 years or so that it's been. And so he's going to talk to us today as a follow-up to what's happening. And I'll tell you up front, it's really tragic what's happening to these people, to these J6ers. It's terribly tragic. But there are some really good things happening. And there are some ways that you could help. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's going to be interesting, not boring, I promise. But first, well, you know, abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year. And despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade, it's a greater number of deaths than before Roe v. Wade was overturned. It's just amazing. I think that's because of the abortion pill, which we've talked about. And that's something we have to tackle. I don't think that the administration has tackled that yet, to my knowledge. But I hope and pray he will, because over 60% of all abortions happen because of that horrible abortion pill that women and girls can order, take it in their home, abort their babies in their toilet. It's a horrendous process. And so that's where preborn comes in, because preborn actually has had a lot of experience with these women in the process of aborting. A lot of them are young girls. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't realize that this is going to happen to them. They've been sold a bill of goods. It's easy. Just take a pill. Take two pills and, you know, come in and see us. Well, they've been bringing their dead babies into the preborn clinics, totally upset, because it's just not natural. And that's why when preborn shows them before they do this an image of their baby in their womb, moving, sucking their thumb, doing, having the hiccups, whatever they're doing, girls just say to themselves, "Moms, I can't terminate that life." And that's how it rolls. That's how they do it. And so if you would like to help preborn, I just want you to understand what a significant thing they do and how important their work. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040, and the US is Sandy Rios 24/7. That's the US. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform, for better or for worse. But also, I usually engage on Twitter, just so you know. A lot of the platforms I'm not personally interacting, but I've got some wonderful people that are doing that and posting the show and other things. But if you want to hear what I'm thinking in a given moment, go to @SandyRiosTweet. That's my Twitter handle for Twitter, @SandyRiosTweet. You can find us on any podcast platform. AFR.net is home base for American Family Radio listeners. And that's very familiar. But if you use Spotify or Amazon or Apple, you can do that. You can find Sandy Rios 24/7 there. So also you can go to my website, sandyrios.com. That's really simple. If you're not used to podcasting, you can go there and listen to the show every single day. So, all right, stay tuned because Tim Rivers will join us to talk about these really patriotic men and women who went to the Capitol on January the 6th, were arrested, were targeted, really set up, I think, by the whole system, by Nancy Pelosi and that massive group of rabid leftist Democrats and some Republicans, I might add, absolutely some Republicans, because they hated Donald Trump and wanted to destroy his supporters. It's a sordid tale, but we're going to tell a little bit of it to you today if you'd like to hear some of this, and we'll be bringing you some good news too, so stay tuned for today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Convicted January 6 rioters walked out of a Washington, D.C. detention facility just before midnight to crowds of supporters cheering them on. Pennsylvania brothers Andrew and Matthew Valentin were arrested for assaulting law enforcement during the 2021 U.S. Capitol attacks. Just last week, they were sentenced to 2.5 years each after pleading guilty to felony charges. President Trump issued sweeping pardons for more than 1,500 people who violently attacked the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago. He also commuted the sentences of 14 people convicted or charged with engaging in the separate seditious conspiracies. Those include former leaders of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, who were sentenced to some of the longest prison terms.
We're going to release our great hostages that didn't do, for the most part, they didn't do stuff wrong.
The idea that now Donald Trump and his Republican friends are just coming in and trying to whitewash the whole thing and pretend not only did it never happen, it was nothing but a picnic. And that's just not going to work.
Trump was expected to further direct the incoming attorney general to dismiss all pending indictments against January 6 defendants who have not yet had their cases settled. The DA's office in Washington says that move would end roughly 470 ongoing cases. Current and former DOJ officials have warned that freeing violent offenders could put prosecutors, judges, and witnesses involved in all of these cases at risk. Live in the newsroom, Brianna Borgie, WCVB, News Center 5.
All right, well, just to set the record straight, we are not trying to move on from January the 6th. We're not trying to move on. We want to examine it. We want the real video. We want the real truth. We want everything exposed. And we must. I talked to you last week with Jake Lane about, you know, he was incarcerated for 4.5 years, the longest of anyone. The devastation on these guys is still real. It's still with them. And so my good friend Tim Rivers is joining us today. Tim, as you've, if you've listened to me for a while, you've heard Tim. Tim was a former IBM executive, and yet he dedicated, he has dedicated the last several years of his life to all these guys and gals who went to the Capitol on January the 6th, and many of them treated so horribly that they're having a terrible time recovering and getting their lives back together. Now, today, we're going to talk about that a bit, but there are some new initiatives that are really exciting and hopeful. So we're going to get to that after Tim and I talk about what's happening with some of these guys. Tim Rivers, my hero, thanks for joining me this morning.
Well, that's an overblown introduction, but you know, it's amazing that I still speak to people. Here we are, well, 5 years down the road, still speak to people who believe that little news clip narrative that you ran in the beginning, that there's an insurrection, these are dangerous criminals who are going to hunt down the prosecutors. And I mean, it's amazing that the discord is still there as far as understanding what really happened on January 6th.
It absolutely is.
People, go ahead.
No, it is, Tim. And the point that I try to make all the time, you know, we have, okay, I want people to think, we are learning now about how the intelligence agencies, even the Congress, the Senate Intelligence Committee, judges, the FBI, the CIA, all of them, how they cooperated to lie to the American people, to spin a tale. And that tale was that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. Russia was trying to help him become the president so that, I don't know, they could do little things that would help Russia. But they have destroyed lives now. Then the COVID situation, and some of you are not on this page yet, but most of you listening to me are. That was a complete and utter scam, a disaster. We went through something where we were being manipulated. We were being lied to. People died because of this. Millions of people all over the world. And so now we're finding out that our news organizations couldn't tell the truth if you paid them. They're continuing. You hear Stephen Colbert. It's just, it's becoming more and more obvious that we have been lied to as a nation. And so before Tim says another word, is it that much of a stretch to understand that you were lied to about January 6th, maybe in some sophisticated, more horrific way than all of the others combined? And so, Tim, we talk about that narrative. You mentioned that of that news story that I just played. But that news narrative that is stuck in people's minds about the people that went to the Capitol is continuing to destroy the lives of those guys that got pardoned and are out on the streets trying to live their lives. Isn't it still affecting them?
It is, and it's amazing because, you know, there was a 12-hour period that began somewhere around 11:30 p.m. on the 20th, and extended to about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning on the 21st, when we released these prisoners all across the country. And it was just this moment of jubilation, this moment of release, this my gosh, justice is going to be done. And then I think everybody says, wow, we did it. It's over. Breathe a sigh of relief. Let's move on. Not so. These people were released. Yeah, some of them were basically given sweatpants and then turned out into, you know, sub-zero weather in the north. Luckily, the Freedom Ambassadors Project had people waiting outside all of these prisoners to receive them, take them to safety, give them clothing, rides home, whatever what they needed, and not just have them standing on the street the way the DOJ and the BOP envisioned. So a lot of people think, well, that's great. You guys did it. They're home free. We can all go back to our normal lives. But imagine, I'm just trying to put yourself in this situation. You don't have to be as old as me. Let's just say you're in your mid-40s. That's because a lot of these people are. And now you've just walked out the prison doors. You have a slandered background, a criminal record, Many of the federal things have not been cleared yet. You're still on no-fly list on Silent Skies and over. I mean, you're still in the data records of the local police. You still don't have your weapons permits back. You still are branded from, if you're a military person, you still can't get on some bases or get the type of VA care that you need. Some people have had their VA benefits canceled, their Social Security benefits canceled. And so, you know, you're trying to start your life. You don't have a job. You don't have a car. In some cases, you've lost your family and your home. And just put yourself in that shoe for a minute and try and imagine how not to panic, how not to find yourself, you know, on the verge of fear of just losing it because, my God, you got nothing. You're starting over, not just starting over. You're starting from a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
If you think that way, then you will put yourself in the shoes of many of the people who were incarcerated. Those who never went to trial or never got swept up in horrible raids were simply indicted. Many of them are recovering, but they're not thriving. They're basically trying to get their lives back together and try and find a way to rebuild. But those who were incarcerated, those who went through the trials, those who had these horrific takedowns by the FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force roust out their neighbors in the middle of the night, post their pictures all over the FBI Most Wanted list. Those people are still suffering. In fact, we've lost a couple.
Yeah,
let's
talk about that in a second. I just want to make a point. I want to restate that the people that went to the Capitol, the guys, for the most part, were military. Some were policemen. Some were businessmen. There were a lot of young businessmen there who had families and thriving businesses. These are not like loafers, drifters. These are not insurrectionists. These are family people. And many of them, I would say, Tim, I know this is not true across the board, but I would say in general, they were and are the patriots of our age. They sacrificed even to go to D.C. on that day, and many of them went. The Oath Keepers, I'll think of them in particular, went to protect patriotic Americans from attacks from Antifa and BLM. And trust me, I was in D.C. the fall, just a few months before that happened. And they all showed up, BLM and Antifa. They were attacking people at Trump's inauguration. This is what happened when patriots went to D.C. They needed protection, and that's why they went. These are the kinds of people. These are the ones that stepped up and tried to help. And then when they saw the police turning on the people, they became unhinged. Some of them did, and for good reason. And so I just want to paint that picture. These are the kind of men. They're type A successful men who have been treated like animals by our system. And here we are. So
Here we are. How do they recover, right? How does somebody like Colt McAbee, who's a former sheriff's officer, how do you recover your reputation? How do you recover your life, your business? If you're a military person, we're serving active, and many of these people were in reserves, and some of them were even actively working for organizations whose names we shall not mention. They lost their clearances. They've lost their ability to do what their chosen profession is, which is arms and warriors. It's really a tragedy that I think few people can wrap their head around, because they can't envision that happening to them.
Jake,
Nobody really can do that. I mean, even I, who've had this contact with them for 5 years and often walk my porch at 4 o'clock in the morning looking for strange cars on the street, even I can't wrap my head around what's happened to these people and what it's like to be a January 6er who's gone through this fire.
Tim, you and I talked about this yesterday. I did talk with Jacob Lane a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about Bart Shively. And I know that you took Bart in yourself. He was, you've taken care of a lot of these guys, but he was very dear to you. I'd love for you to paint a picture of what happened to him.
Yeah, Barton was arrested, and like Chris Worrell and some other folks that you and I have talked about before on the air, he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage one. When he was placed in the D.C. gulag, basically everybody in that gulag, which is the D.C. Department of Corrections, and we're talking specifically about pod C2B and C3, C4D. where these patriots were held and these pods that had been decommissioned because of their, basically unlivable conditions. Inside that pod, they were immediately denied everything that you and I would take for granted. No barbers, can't cut your nails, can't shave your beard, can't get a haircut, can't have visitation, can't have religious services, can't be visited by a religious representative, can't see your family, can't have visitation. If you get to see your attorney, you have to go into quarantine for 2 weeks because of COVID. 5 minutes on the telephone, if you're allowed privileges, and for the first 6 to 8 months, nobody had anything. Everybody was just wondering who was in there and what was happening. That's the condition that was happening there. So medical care, there was none. There, in fact, some of the stories that you'll be hearing and some that we posted in our books tell you of the incredibly torturous conditions that were delivered in lieu of medical or dental care or even physical medications that were needed. Nothing, just nothing. You were basically tossed in there, and that was the end of that. Complain all you want, write a grievance. The grievances go into a system where the person who writes the grievance is also the person who approves the appeals. And, of course, nothing makes it through. So that was the condition. And so when Bart was put in there, people who have non-Hodgkin's require very special diets. They need a lot of special green vegetables and things of that nature of a healthy. They got none of that, nothing but carbohydrates. Most of the food in there is spoiled. I've posted pictures and done exposés on the Bureau of Prisons and D.C. Dock, where they serve people food that is labeled unfit for human consumption. Literally, it's dog food, and that's what they're feeding the prisoners. And so Bart continued to just get worse and worse, even with the type of food we were trying to send in from outside. We were really unable to give him the type of care that he needed, and he couldn't get it from the D.C. dock. And I would just say he stayed in their care until he was finally released by pardon, by which stage he was in full stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Bart passed away in great pain and suffering just a few weeks ago, which is what Jake Lang was talking about. And Tim, he passed away in company of J6 Patriots with him, who were his brothers and so on. But his death was unnecessary, and the photographs and everything I've got of his injuries from mistreatment and from failure to give him the medications he needs are horrific. I mean, they make things that we saw come out of Auschwitz pale to treat Americans this way. And Bart was a Marine, served this country honorably. And so that's why I still wear that moniker, Furious Tim, is that I'm just outraged that our country would do this. And I can't blame my country. My country, right or wrong, is my country. I love it. I'll never not love it. But the people who did this need to be called to accountability. And how do we do that? How do I rescue all these people who really deserve civil torts of millions of dollars each? How do you restore their lives? Will money do it? No, it won't, but it will help. If you could give them something back so that they could at least exist as a citizen of this country again, that would be something. But first you need accountability and you need evidence, and that's kind of where we found ourselves. First, it was the fight to keep all of America aware of it and keep them connected through Patriot Mail Project. And then it was about freeing them with the Pardon Project. Then it was about rescuing them with the Ambassador Project and the Road Home. And now it's about preserving the evidence so that justice can finally be done.
And we'll come back to that, Tim, because I want you to tell people what you're doing, because I think it's amazing. I just want to mention a few other people because I want people to understand the breadth of this. I don't know how many people we're talking about. I mean, I think, 1,500 were pardoned, I think. But now we have
1,559, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned there several others have lost their lives and some have just disappeared, gone off the grid, right?
Yeah.
Just don't even know where they are. And
no, we're concerned about them because they were basically exposing whistleblowers. They were being whistleblowers, exposing some people within the government and within the DOJ that had been doing some pretty nefarious things, and now they've just disappeared. Mm-hmm. There's some concerns there. We've had people suicide. I think I have to count as well. We had most recently Matthew Huddle took his own life when a sheriff officer pulled him over as he was trying to get back to his home base. Of course, he didn't have a driver's license, and the officer was going to arrest him and take him to jail. And he told the officer, "I'm just going to kill myself." And the officer shot him to death before he could raise the gun to his head. Mr. Chris Worrell, who's still suffering from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and now having been released, has no idea what his medical condition is because he's bankrupt. He can't afford a doctor. He has no insurance. He has no way to even tell how badly his disease has progressed. Chris Quaglin, who had celiac disease and was fed a diet of carbohydrates and wheats for years and almost died from it. These stories need to be preserved because they need to be fixed. These problems that allowed these things to happen need to be investigated. Accountability needs to be assigned. And reparations and certainly reforms need to take place. It's the tragedy. We don't even talk about the destruction of lives of the family members, the children who are traumatized by JTCF invasions, the parents who are left alone, losing their homes, have no way to feed them, families lose their cars, lose their jobs, are shunned by their neighbors, all because of a lie. All because of a lie that must be exposed. And not just for us. It must be exposed for history.
Absolutely. It can't happen again. It can't happen again. And
the
one category, the other category, because I want people to understand the breadth of this, Tim. We have a ton of them suffering from PTSD. I think Jake is one of those where just the thought, I'll talk about him for a second, him having been, as a young man in his 20s, he's put on pretrial detention. He never even got to go into a court. And he was held for 4.5 years and shuttled around the country. I can't even remember. What do they call that, diesel treatment or something like that?
Yeah, diesel therapy. Where they move you around in buses and you choke on fumes. And they just, I had one guy was moved to 12 prisons pre-trial in 2 years. 12 prisons.
So would you say? It doesn't shock me because I've talked about it so much, but the marriages that are broken. I think of Kyle Fitzsimmons. I've read some of Kyle's writing and that you've got on your first Gulag. It's Gulag Chronicles, I think. Kyle was such a great writer, and he grieved and grieved and grieved for his little girl. His wife, and he lost all of that. He lost his business, and as you said, and they are having trouble even being hired because the taint on them, the guilt association is just hangs like a pall, and that has to stop. And the only way it can stop is for people to know and understand. Let's talk about something that. The J6 Film Festival, which I absolutely loved. Bruce and I drove to Texas last year, and at that film festival, you had some of the finest movies. Now, they were not all about J6, but I would say, I think the J6 Timeline, was that the one, that was the name of it?
That was one of them. But they were battlefield movies. They were about our battle lines. All of them. COVID, human trafficking, overreach of government, J6, the stolen election, all of those movies gave you the spectrum of the battlefield, because that's what it is. It's a battlefield. It's good against evil. I can't say good and evil aligns with left and right, but I can tell you that there are moralities at risk in the country. The concepts of liberty and justice for everyone and equal justice under law, all of these things were part of the battlefield. And that first film festival really gave you the breadth of it. This one is very much more focused. It's about why you're censored, why you believe these lies because you've been lied to in a form that is so intense and is so engulfing and so persistent that eventually your mind just accepts it. And that's what's happened with not only J6, but with the election fraud and everything else. So how do we stop that? How do we preserve history. We don't rewrite history. That's what we're afraid of.
Right.
I watched people tear down statues the last 10 years that have a heritage that is about a story, that is about a lesson for America. And yet we're happy to destroy the book and tear down the statue.
Exactly.
And there goes the lesson, right?
That's what
now
the communists...
repeat the mistake.
Well, Well, that's why communism, like a cancer, that's what they do. Every country they took over, they would they do away with native dress, the songs of the culture, the history of the culture. That's communism. And they did that in Cuba. They did that in Russia. They did it in China. And so that's what they do. And so, but let's go back to the Film Fest just for a second, though, before we leave this, because I want to say, Tim, first of all, if people are thinking these are like home movies or, you know, really nice pet projects that you guys did, these things are first-class, theater-worthy.
Yeah, these are Hollywood-style productions, really. They are.
Absolutely.
I mean, these filmmakers are amazing. What they do with what they have, and you would think that they had million-dollar production studios because they're really first class.
Yes, exactly. So I want to emphasize that. One of the things, I'm just going to tell a little vignette because I remember Victoria White is a woman who was in the tunnel, and she's just a little, she's not that big. She's a pretty girl, pretty woman. She went and she was trying to stop what we believe was Antifa from breaking down these, pulling the glass out of the Capitol. She attacked two of them, tried to pull them down and stop them. And so later, she was targeted in this tunnel. If people have seen the pictures of this mass of humanity trying to move through this tunnel as the police are shooting pepper spray, just shooting, so that people can't see, they can't breathe. That's where Roseanne Boylan got trampled at the edge of it. But Victoria was further back, and there is video that we saw at the festival of her being beaten and beaten and beaten repeatedly by a male. I don't know what branch of the police he was in, but he, I think, 17 times. And then you had an interview with her. Tim, that just about did me in. I've never, all this time I've covered this, I'd never seen it. She was so traumatized. I've seen kids in North Korea who swam across the Tumon River to try to get food in northern Manchuria. I've interviewed them. I've been right there, and I've seen that look of trauma where there's no real expression. There's no eye contact. And Victoria's telling of this is just, it's just horrific. So that's just one story. But the film festival, the second annual, is coming on Saturday, August the 23rd. Now, that's coming right up. It's a one-day event, and it'll be at the Texan Theater in Greenville, Texas, as it was last year. And this time there's
unbelievable place. Wow.
It is an unbelievable
place.
I never dreamed it was going to be. It's beautiful. It's like a restored. I talked to the lady that restored it, Tim, and that was quite a story. But it's just like a, I don't know, a piece of art.
It is history. Like
a piece of art.
Yeah, history is what's important. Think of the people that have stood on that stage, John Wayne, Houdini, the Marx Brothers. I mean, this place has seen almost every Hollywood you can think of, every country western star, every music icon over the 100 years that it is. But it's just an amazing place. It's a piece of history, and it's appropriate that our history is played out on that stage.
Absolutely. So, that being said, if you are close enough to drive to Texas, now last time we drove from Florida, and weren't sorry at all. We loved it. It's worth being there. They're going to have a special dinner. They have five different movies. The theme, again, as Tim said, this year is propaganda and censorship. So if you decide to go, it's $100 per person. There's only 100 seats in the theater. But there is a way
amazing.
To watch it.
It's very, and you're going to be pampered like you would not believe. The staff at this theater, it's like you have your own tables, you're in arrays, you have waitresses coming by and serving. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. But again, I point out, only 100 seats. Only 100 seats. The rest of you guys can watch it live by live streaming it. And not only if you buy your $25 ticket this year for live streaming, we're going to give you last year's movies, too.
Oh, wow. Now, that is just fabulous, Tim. That's fabulous. And so, okay, so how can people, how do they contact you to do this? That's the part I don't see
here, just go
information.
Just go to 1afilmfest.com, buy your streaming ticket, you'll get a code and a point where you can log into the stream. You'll be able to watch the entire day's events, the interviews with the filmmakers, the award ceremony. It'll all be in the live stream. And then because you purchase your ticket, we open the archive doors to the vault from first 1A Film Festival number one. So not only will you get the new five films that you can watch both live and watch it again with your friends for that ticket, gives you an entire year's of access, but you'll also get the 13 films and all the bonus material from the 1A Film Festival. That's 18 full-length videos, some of them an hour and a half. Some of them are going to shock you. Some of them you won't want your kids to watch, but you will be amazed at what you're learning. It's an experience that I don't think many people will be prepared for, to tell you the truth.
I agree.
You might be laid back in your chair at the end of it, like I think Sandy might have been in a couple of these movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a package that you really, $25, 18 movies, another 16-something hours of bonus footage, interviews with the filmmakers, interviews with the planners and the team to put it all together. Just an amazing event. And $25, pay your $25, invite your friends over, have a watch party. It'll come down to like $2 or $3 a pop for everybody to get access to see some of these amazing videos, and they'll thank you because they're going to learn things.
Absolutely. That's one thing I would encourage people to do, just what you just said. And also just during the coming year, to have friends over and watch these movies. If anything's going to change the minds of people about January 6th, and again, I'm talking, there are other things, as you said, great things that are shown, like, for instance, the voting machines, the fraud in the voting machines. There's a great movie about that. But it's stuff like that that you're not going to hear. And if you try to Google it, forget it. They're still censoring us. And so,
thousands of hours of journalistic investigation and real evidence. What you're going to see, I think what people are used to is these Hollywood productions like what the J6 Committee produced. These things that are like, you know, backgrounds and everything, theme music and beautiful titles. That we're going to show you some raw video, folks. You're just going to have to make up your own mind about what you're seeing and hearing. And that's the way it should be. We're going to put you in January 6th. We're going to put you in the middle of the election fraud. We're going to stick you in the middle of human trafficking. And you'll walk away a changed person because these are things you've never seen before, and you may not even believe that they happen, but we're going to show it to you. Yeah. And I think that's the way to do it. We're not trying to tell you anything. We want you to look and listen and make up your own minds about what is truth. And these next five videos, these next five films are really amazing. I haven't been able to see all of them, and I won't, unfortunately, be present physically at the film festival, although I will be coming in by Zoom. But this is an event for $25. You can't beat it. Set it up. Invite some friends over. Get your church group together. You got a book club. Invite them up. These are really amazing videos, something you don't want to miss. And then you'll have a whole year's access to the whole thing. And all you have to do is go 1afilmfest.com, buy your ticket, register in there. You'll get your streaming link, and you'll be able to watch the entire thing live. Or show up in Texas and have an amazing experience inside this historic Texan theater.
I can attest to that. I can absolutely attest to that. That's Saturday, August the 23rd. Go to 1afilmfest.com. Now, Tim, there's a lot of other things to talk about, but let's hit them. You have a third book in the series. Yeah, the Gulag Chronicles. I can't remember, and I can't see the titles from my CD.
The Road to Freedom.
Oh, that's the third. No, that's the new one. But what was the second one?
Yeah. The first one was Letters from Prison, and that covered the D.C. Gulag years and the things that were happening at the horrific roundups. The second one in Letters is called The Art of Confinement, and now these men are in prisons all across the country, and they're writing to their supporters and their family members and telling you what's been happening to them. They're describing the kangaroo courts, the mistreatment by the prison authorities, the diesel therapy by the marshal service, the lack of access to their evidence or discovery. The whole thing is all in their handwriting. You're going to see the letters and then the clean transcripts. And this last book is so different than the first two. The letters, they're still there. You're going to see this beginnings of hope through these letters that Trump is talking about, pardons. People are working on a pardon project. Trump is actually doing things with the J6ers and singing with them and reading. Trump is now talking in his rallies about letting us free. You can see this change and transition in their mindsets from the horrors of the first 3 years beginning to formulate a little hope. and then we win the election, and wow, the letters. I can't describe them. You'll have to read them. And then they go right up to the day of release, where some of the last letters are written on the 20th as they're waiting for Trump to sign that document. Like my wife and I were standing outside Coleman Prison on the highway with our phones in our hands waiting for him to sign that paper so we could go into the prison and release our prisoners. And it's different than the other books in that in between these letters I show you how we saved the Republic. I show you how we saved these people, how we freed them, how we've tried to sustain them and their families and their lives. I show you how ordinary, just run-of-the-day American citizens became the immune system of the Republic and saved these people and helped turn the tide. Because that's important.
Yes.
Because we might have to do it again. You need to know how to do it. You need to know what it took. You need to understand the sacrifice that these people made for you and me as surrogates of liberty.
Tim, for the books, Letters from Prison, The Art of Confinement. By the way, they're beautiful books, too. Beautifully done, beautifully done. And The Road to Freedom, is it out yet? Are you finished with it yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's done. Yeah, it's actually, we've gone for the, you know, I made some boo-boos in my first couple of books. I've learned I want to print 10 copies and look at them. So that's what's happening right now. We're
okay.
Printing the proof copies, and then from there, they're going straight to the printer. You can buy all three books right now, pre-sale on the first book. You're actually going to get something special if you order your book before the printed copies come out. You're going to get a first-run edition that's numbered, and those will be very special because these books will eventually be they'll be in the Smithsonian. So what's special about the books? Why did we do the books? I think it's important maybe to circle back around to that real quickly. I did the books so you wouldn't forget, so that people would understand what was happening, so that they could hear from the people who were experiencing this tyranny, this danger to the Republic, to you and I, firsthand. Because me telling you about it really wasn't, it was more whining than winning. But these people, when they tell you about it, they're the ones who are suffering. They're the ones who can tell you what it's like to have the JCTF kick your front door in and drag you and your children into the front yard in the freezing cold with your neighbors watching. They'll tell you what it's like to have flashbangs thrown at you even though your hands are raised in surrender. They'll tell you what it's like to tell you to put your infant child on the ground while they point loaded weapons at you. In their letters, they describe these things, and so that's why I wrote the books, was to preserve the letters. But now it's become more important that this become the historical record. What's a chronicle? A chronicle is a story in time. Some chronicles are fictional, but many document real things. Most of history comes to us in that form, in journals and letters and documents from governments. And those are the things that make history permanent, that if once those things are set in stone, become available to everyone, it's very difficult to rewrite that story. And so that's why these letters were enshrined in these three books, so that stories couldn't be erased and forgotten. But it goes so much further than that. It goes
hold on 1 second.
Documentaries, you know, all these things are all history.
Right. But before you, let's talk about that, because that's a whole other project, and I love it. But how could they get the books?
Oh, lettersfromprison.us. Very easy. Lettersfromprison.us. You can order the books there. The first two books will ship to you immediately. The third book will ship as soon as it's ready. And like I said, if you have a pre-order in before it hits the printer, you're going to get a special volume.
Okay.
And that will be unique in itself. So I think that's the end of the Chronicles, because I've told the story. They're released. These last letters, you'll see in the back the pictures of their release as all of our freedom's ambassadors were waiting for them, taking pictures of them coming out of the prisons, being reunited with their families. You can actually watch the live videos of that out on my Rumble page at WTR55. Look for Freedom Rings videos. There are three of them, and you'll actually see the releases and see these reunions that are just, oh, my God, they're so emotional. Mothers embracing children after not being able to see them for 3 years. I mean, it's amazing footage, first of all. But, again, it's history. So that's when you buy this book, two things are happening for you. One is you become part of the fight, because the money from the books goes to our nonprofit, the American Gulag Chronicles, and it's redistributed back to January Sixers and their families to help them try and regain their lives and regain their place in society. So in that manner, every dollar that you put to purchase one of these books is doing something good to restore these people's lives.
Wow,
the second part is you're preserving history.
And speaking of that,
by owning those books, are preserving this history for your children and the next generations to come. And that's even more important than the money.
Yes, and that brings us to this last thing. I think it's your last thing.
Yeah.
We might have one more thing.
Yeah.
The archive project.
Tim. Two more. We're tired of waiting for the January 6th committee, and so we've done our own panels of inquiry. Under the J6 Advocates Association, which is formed by all of the nonprofit groups and for-profit groups that have bonded together to do this work for the last 5 years, we're now pursuing basically panels of inquiry where we're inviting these people, these January 6th defendants, specifically people like Mr. Quaidlin, Mr. Worrell. Unfortunately, we cannot invite Mr. Barton Shively because he's passed away, but those are the type of people we're inviting to testify about their experiences, about the abuses, about the failures of the system that need reform. We're doing that in very much a Senate hearing format, and that's being recorded. Then all the evidence and exhibits that they bring forward are going to be available to the public, as well as those panels. And they are all folding all of these things, the books, the documentaries that we put out on StopHate.com and Open.Inc, all of the work that we've done with the books and the letters, the panel, all the videos and the exhibits, that's all going into something that's even more important. It's called the Historical January 6th Archive Project. And what it is an attempt to take the thousands and thousands of hours of videos, photographs, court records, body cam footage, CCTV surveillance footage, individual phone footages from like what Parler saw, all of this information, and put it all in a national archive where it can be protected and preserved, not under government control, but under control of we the people. And to do that, you can join the crowdfunding that's going to push it out there by going to givesendgo.com/J6Archive Project. Every dollar you put in there makes you a plank owner in developing this immense archive, which will be petabytes of data that will be available for public research and viewing, but will also be assisted with some researching tools so that people who are exploring accountabilities, exploring basically, you know, retribution for what's happened to them, exploring recompense for their losses, all of this information is helpful in torts. It's all going to be vetted so that it has to be first-person evidentiary data. Nothing that's been altered or changed or passed hand-to-hand will be accepted and placed into the archives. So it will become the central repository for all things J6 historical. And we hope to have at least a year and a half to build the archive. And following that, the research tools will be available to academia and the public. Some of them will be licensed because they'll be very high-powered AI-driven tools. And eventually we hope to give you an immersive experience, almost like a virtual reality of January 6th, when all of this evidence is put together so that it can be linked and indexed. You'll be able to follow individuals and timelines throughout the entire events as if you were in the moment or in the location. These are very long-ranging and very grandiose plans. They require a lot of money, a lot of commitment, and time. That's most important, and we don't have time. So the first step in all of this is to preserve the evidence, because without that, how can I force accountability? How can I ever have a civil tort to get recompense? So we got to preserve the evidence, and that's what this archive project is. givesendgo.com/J6Archive Project. Every dollar you put in there goes to us buying storage and hiring people to do the vetting and the authentication, and then eventually begin to index this so anybody can find what they're looking for and be able to do research on J6 in a manner that is really no historical project of this nature has ever been done. I want to say back when I first was still with IBM, we digitized the Louvre in an attempt to give you a walk-around immersive experience. this is going to be nothing like this. This is going to be like you're in January 6th, if we can reach that pinnacle. But first, we got to get the evidence, we got to get the video, we got to get the imagery so that AI can begin to assemble these landscapes that you'll be able to visit and explore. And that we need America to step up before this evidence is lost forever. And it's we're losing it right now.
Well,
I guarantee you the 14,000 hours they were edited before we got our hands on them.
Well, so, the J6 committee got rid of all the testimony that they took. They deleted all their evidence, the first J6 committee. So that underscores what you're talking about. And also, I hope and pray that there will be real trials, real examination of lawless judges, vindictive, hate-filled judges in the District of Columbia. I'd like to see that happen, and around the country, too, for that matter. That's what makes this so important. And if the panel that's being convened in Washington, D.C. ever gets really serious about examining what happened on that day, this will be a great resource for them, Tim, or some other panel in the future that really wants to reveal the truth. But let me say again.
We're happy to share our investigations.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then hang on a second, because let me retrack what we've told them. For the film festival, which is August the 23rd, you go to 1afilmfest.com. You can go there and be there in person on that day, or you can sign up to watch it virtually, and that will give you access to all those films, and also films that took place at the first film fest, which was last year in Texas. And if you're close enough, if I were you, I would go. It's a wonderful experience. Second thing is all these books that Tim has put together, which are absolutely lovely. Letters from Prison, The Art of Confinement, and The Road to Freedom. Go to lettersfromprison.us. And as he said, he'll make you a really good deal if you buy them all. And, of course, you're helping the J6ers by doing all of this. One other thing. The Archive Project, Tim does need help. You can see how many things he's doing. And it's not, big major corporation is behind him with endless dollars, and no U.S. pot of money is behind him. And so they need some help from all of us. So go to givesandgo.com/J6Archive Project. That's givesandgo.com/J6Archive Project. One last thing, Tim. Just give us an idea. I know that some people are still incarcerated. Can you just give us a thumbnail sketch of what's happening there? And just give us an idea why that is.
Some of these people had related charges when they were arrested. For instance, so the JCTF kicked in their doors and they had warrants for January 6th. But along the way, they found, oh, you had a gun in your car, and that we consider that concealed because you didn't have it, blah, 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 blah. So now you have a gun charge. So January 6th pardon comes down, all your January 6th goes away, but the local judges, who are basically very vindictive, and some of them have openly expressed their desire to further punish people in that way because they think that we've released, as you heard in that little clip, we're concerned that you're releasing dangerous criminals into the community. Oh, come on.
Yep.
But that's still going on. And so there's where you find the disparities. And I think that's who's still in prison. I got one guy who's been given a life sentence because he basically spoke to an FBI agent in a manner that the agent said was threatening. And therefore he's threatened a federal agent, and so he gets a life sentence. Really? So, of course, the federal agent had been harassing him on a regular basis. So these kind of things are what the remainder is. We've got maybe 5 or 6 people who are in some cases still under probations, and a few that are still in prison and are being held there by judges who refuse to honor their pardon set. So that's kind of where we sit with those guys. You can learn more about that by visiting our websites at j6patriotnews.com or drop into any of our sister sites like stophate.com, and you'll find all this latest information. We're on X. We're on Meta, we're on Truth, we're on Gab. Just look for us, J6 Patriot News, or look for Furious, and you'll find us everywhere.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that with that, we're going to say goodbye, Tim. You got things to do. I think you need to go and get some stuff done. It doesn't sound like you've gotten enough accomplished yet, so
I know. I'm got to get motivated here. But Ray, I want that motivation to pass on to all your listeners, because it happens. We're just ordinary Americans until the Republic needs us. And then just like your body's immune system, we become white cells and we attack what's threatening the Republic and our lives and our children. And so that's what everybody needs to remember. You're the immune system. It's time for you to wake up.
Yeah, love it. All right, Tim Rivers, again, my hero, and certainly a hero to the J6ers, and a friend, compassionate, loving friend, who's done real practical things to help them. And yet it's an enormous task, and he needs our help. So if you need to listen to those addresses, just rewind the tape on the podcast and write them down so that you can access the things he's talking about and help in the ways that really resonated with you as we were speaking. Tim, thank you so much, and God bless you, and take care of you. We'll talk again soon, okay?
All right. God bless America.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
And the FDA finally approved the French abortion pill. And again, there's two pills. They okayed the first one, mifepristone, for chemical abortions up to 7 weeks. Later, that was extended to 10 weeks under Barack Obama. And then under Joe Biden, they opened the door to the FDA approving of mifepristone prescriptions online, through the mail, and without any kind of supervision. And the Supreme Court upheld that unanimous ruling just in 2024. It really is despicable. I'm telling you, it is despicable, given the number of injuries, 10% or so of women who have these chemical abortions, not to mention the loss of life, the trauma of delivering at home. It is a disgraceful thing that our country has done. But Preborn is trying to provide a redemptive way to stop it. They have a pill that can actually reverse that first pill. And the first one is mifepristone. So if a mother has second thoughts when she takes that first pill, if she gets to a Preborn clinic, they can stop that. But if she takes the second pill, which expels the baby, it's too late. And that's why we're trying to educate women, not educate. I hate that. Just really too sterile. We're trying to move their hearts by showing them their baby in utero through ultrasound. That's what Preborn does. That's the emotional trigger, which is genuine and real from the heart of God. That's a baby. And when women see that, they don't take these abortion pills. It stops it before it begins. But both things have to be addressed, and that's what Preborn does. If you would like to help, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And please make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I told him that the stuff that his people were shoveling out to the public were bullshit. I mean, that the claims of fraud were... I specifically raised the Dominion voting machines, which I found to be among the most disturbing allegations. Disturbing in the sense that I saw absolutely zero basis for the allegations. but they were made in such a sensational way that they obviously were influencing a lot of people, members of the public, that there was this systemic corruption in the system and that their votes didn't count and that these machines controlled by somebody else were actually determining it, which was complete nonsense.
Well, wait a second. Complete nonsense. So all of us who've been following this, the guests that I've had on this show, I think of Pat Kolbeck, a senator from Michigan, former senator from Michigan, who has spent the last 5 years of his life trying to reveal what's happening. I think of my friend Tina Peters, who is languishing in a prison at age 70 in Colorado because she was the chief of elections in her county. She was in charge of them. And she saw the machines doing some funny things, and she copied with a thumb drive what the vote tally was at certain points. And because of that, the wrath of Colorado and the wrath of the national organization that swears that there was no fraud during the election, and anybody that says it, it's telling the big lie. So Tina languishes, and we have Bill Barr, who's, I don't know what he's in, some Caribbean beach. I'm not sure what he's doing now. But they promised us. No, there's nothing to that. Nothing to that. Okay, fast forward. We have a new director of national intelligence. Her name is Tulsi Gabbard. And she was on an interview with Benny Johnson. And this is what Tulsi had to say.
You made a comment at a cabinet secretary meeting that has stuck with our audience, and they'd really love an update on it. And it's about the 2020 election. And you were talking about the security of that election, and you were telling President Trump that there has been evidence that has been uncovered of potential breaches. I'm not exactly certain, but I'd love a follow-up on this. Here's the moment right here. Do you have any updates on the 2020 election or anything that you've found?
The point that I was making there in the cabinet meeting was early discovery that I had seen from a whistleblower who came forward who was working under CISA at that time, which is responsible for critical infrastructure and trying to protect against cyber vulnerabilities, critical infrastructure, including, of course, the integrity of our election systems. And what was interesting was seeing how this whistleblower brought forward information that CISA at that time, the federal government, was aware of vulnerabilities in our election machines, but they chose not to disclose that information to the American people or to the administration at that time. This is an area, of course, of critical importance, once again, for the American people to have faith in the integrity of our elections and that it is their voice that is heard through these elections. We're continuing to investigate this, and when we have information that we are ready to release, you'll hear about it.
Okay, so we're going to be hearing more on the 2020 election and some critical vulnerabilities.
Yes,
okay.
Okay, so you may recall Sidney Powell used to be a guest of mine. She was a highly honored, respected prosecutor from Texas, worked for the Justice Department. She wrote books. People listened. They learned from her. And she's the one that tried to expose this voting machine problem. And then she was just ruined. And so part of it was that these voting machine companies, they were Smartmatic and Dominion. So Dominion actually sued all the media outlets. They sued all the radio networks. They sued Fox. They sued Newsmax. And if you dared say anything about Dominion that was bad, they would sue you. They had tons of money, and they sued everybody into silence. And so the irony of it is the Democrats after, let's see, which election was this? Maybe 2016. I think it was after that. They produced a video. You can see it now. It's a documentary. It's called Kill Chain, K-I-L-L-C-H-A-I-N, in which they laid out the flaws of voting machines and how they change votes. It's a whole expose on it. But then when the Republicans claimed it, at least some of us did, oh no, that's the big lie. And so the big lie took place, the real big lie took place in the halls of Congress. So this was the CEO of Dominion testifying before Congress. Well, let's listen. Clip 6.
Voting systems are, by design,
meant to be used as closed systems that are not networked, meaning they are not connected to the internet. There is no internet connectivity at all. They are not designed to be connected to the outside world through either an internet connection or any other external connectivity device.
Dominion have any way to remotely access any of the information on any of the equipment or have remote access within the machines themselves?
No.
Does anybody have access to the best of your knowledge?
No.
So here we have this complete lie. Another thing, it's not just January the 6th. This is related, though, because you hear in this first J6 committee, they claim President Trump persuaded all these people to come to the Capitol because there was voter fraud. Machines were bad, and he whipped them into a frenzy, and that's what caused the insurrection of January the 6th. The truth was that the people understood, many of them had been in various states watching. They saw it with their own eyes. Any of us that watched the election returns the night of the 2020 election knew that something was terribly wrong, terribly wrong. We didn't have to, you know, have some commission to know that there was a problem. So here's the thing. The estimates are that Dominion deleted 2.7 million Trump votes nationwide. Data analysis finds 221,000 Pennsylvania votes switched from President Trump to Biden, 941,000 Trump votes deleted. States using Dominion voting systems switched 435,000 votes from Trump to Biden. Okay, so I'm just telling you, it happened. It's real. And for those that have just poo-pooed it, I remember that one moment where President Trump's daughter, Ivanka, talks about how she, in the most dreadful voice, I have respect for her. I disagree with her politics, but she's a lady. She's a sweet girl, as far as I can tell, a sweet mother. But I believe what General Barr said. I didn't believe my father. I believe General Barr. Well, General Barr is full of something. In fact, I'm hearing worse things about him that maybe we'll talk about on another day, things that he may have been involved in that might explain his horrific behavior in regard to the voting. And so the J6ers went to the Capitol because they believed it, because it was true. And then some narrative was created. We were all played again. They're really good at it. So remember, the media, the left, and even some Republicans, again, cooperating, have spun a tale with us that's unbelievable, whether it's COVID or whether it's, vaccines, whether it's the election, whether it's the J6, the day of J6. They have made up some whoppers. That's all I can say. Russia collusion, that's another one. They've perfected the method. So just, I'm hoping that by talking about this so much, you have developed a detector where you have I think it's also going on right now with Israel. It's also going on in some quarters with Israel. We're being played. We're being played. It's really not true what we're being told. So we have to wise up and get smarter, and we have to make sure that we understand who it is we're choosing to listen to and where we get our news. It's just important. So, well, I think we're done. And it's time for me to thank Timothy Plan for showing us how to put our money where our values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Could I recommend you go back and listen to this show again and make notes so that you can share this information? Also make notes of the places you can go. I think we gave three different websites, and that gets confusing. But that'll help you so that you can, you know, order those books, that you can access those films from the Texas Film Festival. And also that you can help Tim to do this archive project, to hire other people, because it's an overwhelming task. And so I hope that you'll do that. I want to thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.